Now, Nokia says it has been selected by NASA to deploy an ultra-compact, low-power, space-hardened wireless 3G or 4G network on the moon. This being part of the space agency's plan to establish a long-term human presence there by 2020 or 2030, rather. Justin Jonas is project scientist and engineer at SKA, joining us on the line from Johannesburg. Justin, thank you very much for making time. I know you've got a busy one this afternoon.
No, thanks for having me.
I must admit, and I was saying this at the beginning of the show, that when it comes to astronomy and all things space, it's something that I really have got no knowledge of. And I find this quite fascinating. Why is this important?
For all sorts of reasons, but one of the ones is that the public expectation of seeing fantastic pictures from the moon if we do go back there, you know, and... one of the things will be so that we can, you know, relay high-definition images and videos back from the moon, but more prosaic things, that the people working on the moon can keep contact with each other, you know, have the same facilities on the moon as they have here on the Earth.
Mm.
You know, one of the things about those sort of space technologies is they're often quite far behind what we're used to on Earth, because the technologies have to be what we call hardened for use in space, and it takes some time for that to happen. So, you know, when the space shuttle goes up, the most powerful computer on the space shuttle was a laptop, not the computers that that controlled the rocket. So this is a kind of a jump forward to use commodity electronics in space.
Mm. It does make a lot of sense then, which I suppose justifies this $14 million contract that we're talking about, the technology, the hardware that is required to make this a reality. Justin, if you can just spend a bit more time on that and having us understand what actually it means and what is needed.
Yeah, so I was quite surprised to see the $14 million price tag. You know, for space work, that's actually quite a small amount of money. We're used to seeing very, very large numbers. So I think part of that is because what Nokia are going to be doing is basically taking a base station that you have here on Earth and modifying it for deployment on the moon. So it's not a lot of work that they have to do. I think the bigger part of the contract will actually go to this partner company that they're working with, Intuitive Machines, which is going to be a kind of a robot that's going to deploy these stations across the moon's surface. So that's actually quite a hard job, is to robotically place base stations across the moon's surface where you want them. So that's I was quite amazed at how low that number was. But this will provide infrastructure on the moon that's will be very useful for future planned missions, this Artemis mission, where the first woman will go to the moon. And it'll give them the support that they need. But speaking as a radio astronomer, as much as I love high tech stuff, this is actually a risk to us as radio astronomers, because you putting a radio transmitter on the moon, and we'll certainly be able to detect it with our Meerkat radio telescope and the SKA into the future.
Hmm.
So there is a worry that the proliferation of these sorts of technologies on the moon could actually hinder scientific research. So as is happening now, with Elon Musk's satellite constellation that he's sending up. So we're hoping for a balance here, they'll deploy these technologies to advance things on the moon, but also just be a little bit careful about not destroying the science that we're trying to do here from Earth.
Yeah, and on that, how do we find that balance? Because we wouldn't want to have somebody like you as a chief technologist not having work to do or not being able to do the level of research that you do. So how does one strike that balance? Are you at all consulted?
That's an interesting one. When it comes to radio frequency allocation, and especially in space, it becomes a very financial and politically motivated space. And we're scientists, and we don't have any political clout, and we don't have any money.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to rely on the goodwill of a lot of these satellite operators and space agencies. But at the same time, they benefit from the technologies that we develop. And so one hopes that there is a kind of a quid pro quo that you can come to to manage this balance. These things are dealt with through the International Telecommunications Union and other bodies like that, and the United Nations itself. But in the end, unfortunately, money often trumps any other discussion that you might have. But this is actually, I must say, I was very interested to see this Nokia contract being awarded. I think it's a great thing. You know, have cell phones on the moon. Who would have imagined? You know, when Apollo went up, they took up really, you know, sort of the videos and things that they took weren't that great. You know, and now we have the opportunity to be able to live stream back videos from the moon. No, what could be better, really, to get people interested in science?
Yeah, most definitely. We appreciate your time. That is Professor Justin Jonas, Chief Technologist at South African Radio Astronomy Observatory.